Local with Monica J on 92.3 FM and 99.1 FM Talk. This segment is brought to you by HireMeNevada.com.
HireMeNevada.com. A lot of people out of work right now. A lot of businesses looking for people. There are actually people that were so scared they left their jobs. So please, log on. If you want to work, there is work out there for you. People are hiring. It might not be what you're used to. It might not be your dream job, but hey, right now, help make ends meet. Because I'm actually going to send a letter to an email. It's probably not going to be looked at, but just as Tyler wrote me. Write to the White House and tell the president not to sign that pork-laden coronavirus stimulus bill. $300 million for NPR? This is bad. But the line item that U.S. taxpayers should pay close attention to is $250 million to the Internal Revenue Service. The subsidy would cover taxpayer services, enforcement, and operation support. Now, the bill that was pretty much immediately shot down, the Pelosi bill, she originally wanted $602 million for that. Oh, darn, and they only got a measly $250 million of your money. The easiest way to reach the White House is their online form, whitehouse.gov/contact. whitehouse.gov/contact/. Do it today. Especially if you're unemployed, but you're making ends meet because maybe one person in the family is unemployed and somebody else is still bringing it at home. Tell the stories. Say, hey, don't put this on our backs for later. Make a bill, a single-use bill for once. And just say, you know what? We're going to give aid to the unemployed and the business owners. Everything else is out. Do something new for a change. Do something for the American taxpayer. The people that actually are giving you all that money. And where is all that money going? Hillary Sheevy wants to make sure that she has to cut as little as possible. Lay off as few people as possible. Well, isn't that nice? Because you know other cities and counties are doing the same thing. So basically, if you work for the government, you should be okay. It's the rest of us dummies that are getting, you know, bent over. Let's go to the phone lines at 884-9910 and check in with AJ this morning. AJ, I'm so glad you called because we've been having a conversation for probably about 8 months about the infrastructure of this city and what is needed and what is overlooked. And it makes me very nervous that the city council is still making decisions and spending money, hey, even though that we can't participate.
Hey, Monica, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Hey, I have Ray Pezzanella on the phone with us. Say hi, Ray.
Hey, how are you doing?
Oh, my gosh, Ray Pezzanella. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Monica. How you been?
I am still cursing the day that you were not elected mayor and Hillary Sheevy got in there. That's how I'm doing.
Amen. Thank you very much. I appreciate that very much.
Amen. You know, Let me just start this off, Monica, and then I'm going to let you talk to Ray, because what I just want to say, and then Ray's going to take it from here because he's the expert, is that the people of the city of Reno don't understand that they're going to be paying these amounts via higher taxes, property taxes. And I think Ray will agree with that, and he's going to explain to you how that's going to happen. Go ahead, Ray.
Well, I think what you're trying to say is there's a big need for infrastructure to be upgraded in our community, and there's that goes without saying. I mean, that's like any city across the United States. I mean, we've seen bridges fall down in Minnesota. We've seen different things happen. That's lack of maintenance over the years, and you got to look at the leadership that basically has been running this country for quite a while, and they're, you know, as long as it hangs in there, they think it's going to be just fine. Well, it's not, and ultimately, I know the city of Reno has tried and put together capital improvement projects that they feel is necessary to take care of at least not having the sewage in our area going into the surrounding subgrades and the subsoils and contaminating some of our, you know, groundwaters and things of that nature. I know they've been trying over the years to upgrade quite a few of the utilities. The trouble is it's just it's overwhelming, and at this point in time, I don't know, AJ, if you really could get enough money from property taxes to take care of the infrastructure that needs to be upgraded. Where our roads have been just a disaster for years, and but we're no different than many communities across the nation, but we're going to have to start paying the piper, and we're going to have to start making a decision in our lives about what we're going to do and how we're going to do it, because we're all part of it. But what hurts is the leadership over the years. I think they just basically neglected looking at what needed to be done. I'm positive the staffs in the different cities and county operations are well aware of what they need. They're more than happy to lay it out for everybody. But the problem is when you look at the bottom line, it's so significant that I think nobody can really get their arms around it to be able to handle how to take care of it and what to do with it. So, but there'll be a day of reckoning, like we always say, that, you know, we're going to have to just do what we need to do to get it accomplished. And
well,
AJ's
and unfortunately,
right. I mean,
Ray, with,
money.
You know, places like Redding, California, you know, they're paying the piper now because you have a situation where people are hoarding toilet paper or they can't find toilet paper. And so the people who can't find it are flushing things that are not meant to go into the sewer system. And it's going to cause some serious problems.
Yeah, or a septic system, yeah.
Yep, it really is. And, you know, like I say, you got to take a look at a plan for the future. And the leadership that I've seen, you know, doesn't have an understanding of the future and doesn't look at what they can accomplish over a period of time. You got to, you know, the old saying is, how do you eat an elephant? Well, one bite at a time. And what you got to do here is the same thing. So you got to start.
Something, Ray. A lot of this is deferred maintenance. And the first thing they're going to do is they're going to raise our property taxes because they think that that's the fastest and easiest way to do that. But a good example is our bridge that was on Virginia Street, where they actually allocated X amount of dollars to pay for it, but they neglected to do a phase one or phase two, which in turn cost the city of Reno more money. Again, on Plum Lane and Virginia Street, where they did pulled up all Plum Lane and Virginia Street, and then they put it all back together and neglected to remember to put in the electrical. That's irresponsibility to me.
Well, that's exactly right. That's leadership and trying to put things together properly and doing what you need to do. There's no question about it. I think you're right. I think the property taxes, but I think we're going to have to look at special assessment districts where basically they're going to have to take a look at who's going to see, you know, get taken care of by doing the work in the different areas. So I think you're going to be looking at a lot of different unique ways to come up with money to accomplish, because I don't think you can raise the property taxes enough to really take care of the infrastructure
to
be accomplished.
What about the special assessment district that the city of Reno just put into place and passed?
On that 4th Street and some of those areas that they were just working on?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, basically, that's the way they're going to have to accomplish getting some of these projects on. 4th Street come out very nice. I think they did a pretty good job with that. I think they got Virginia Street going on right now. I know they remiss in some of the areas that they need to take care of, but I just hope it doesn't hurt too many of the businesses along Virginia Street. I think it's between what's going on now and that construction, I think it's going to be kind of devastating to several businesses, which really hurts too, because that's how we all end up with our dollars. Basically, the money that comes through those businesses are a big part of what we need. So,
Ray, let me ask you. Yeah. Ray, let me ask you about developer responsibility, and I'm going to use the project on Plum Lane as an example. We are sewer systems at 98% capacity, and they think by putting in a lift station for the development for the Park Lane project is going to solve that. How in the world is that going to solve that?
Well, you know, I was involved in a little project along Linden Street, too, where basically there was some problems with the sewer at the freeway down the road a piece, basically down gradient. And the concern was that they had a obstruction at that location, and that's all over town. What you're finding is there's sewers that the city hasn't taken care of, or the county hasn't taken care of, or
absolutely
districts haven't taken care of. So what they look back on, and now I'm involved in one right now where the developer has to come in and fix the problems at the back of their project, basically, to accomplish what they need to do. And same thing exists there. They're putting in lift stations, they're putting in whatever they have to do to try to take care of the situation at the time. And it's a lot of it is just patches. Or basically, they're putting together whatever they can to get things accomplished. It's still not, you know, redoing the lines. It's still not taking care of the manholes. It's still not taking care of a lot of the infrastructure that has to go along with that. So
it's basically how they fix the road system. They just put a patch here and a patch there and hope it'll last until the next season. But what one of the things, though, Ray, is why are we, you know, holding off on sewer fees for developers and developers not paying more and putting more up front for all this work? Why is it going on the taxpayer?
Well, I think the developers are paying their fair share. Basically, what they do is they are paying hookup fees. They are paying, for what I consider infrastructure that's, you know, several miles away from their projects. They're still fixing things because to get their projects on, they have to do that work that benefits the city, benefits the taxpayer, benefits different people. And the developers, that's why development pays for itself. I mean, basically, it's what's we need in the community. And as you grow, you can take care of a lot of things that basically wouldn't be able to be taken care of had not the developers get involved. So there's a lot of things. I mean, if you talk to a lot of different people, you'll understand, you know, how things are accomplished and how things are done through the communities, for sure.
But won't you agree that the city of Reno has put a bandage on a very bad wound? So some of this deferred maintenance stuff has been deferred for years. For instance, in the old Southwest Reno, in Old Sparks, up in the Northwest, they have that orange piping. That stuff, because of all the foliage, is failing. So that's stuff that the homeowners are going to have to pay. So herein is people who live in the county are going to be annexed in so that they can get more money to pay for this failed infrastructure that has been going for many, many years.
That's very true. I mean, that's things that do happen. But you got to remember now, I don't want to take a side of the city in that kind of thing, but you got to remember how much growth we've accomplished in a very short period of time, and handling the growth that we've had, which is important. I mean, growth is very important to any community.
But it should be controlled growth.
Always, you should have controlled growth, and I think we try to keep that to a point where we have controlled growth. But in the same token, you have to be ready for these conditions. You have to be ready for the growth that's coming, and you have to. That's why I call long-range planning, if you want to call it that, okay?
Exactly.
You got to take a look at what you're going to do, what areas you're going to develop, that's why you have master plans, that's why you have zoning conditions and stuff, so people understand what they can do in certain areas and how they can accomplish
Unfortunately, Ray, every time they put a master plan into place or zoning restrictions, they just keep going in and changing them at will for whatever project that they want to do.
Yeah,
fiscal responsibility, absolutely.
Yeah, they have to make sure that they take a look at that, because you're right. It doesn't do you any good to do a master plan and then kind of, you know, go in a different direction right off the bat kind of thing. So yeah. Well said with respect to that.
Well, isn't that their fiscal responsibility?
AJ, actually, AJ, I've got to cut both of you off here. AJ, thank you so much. Ray Pezzanella, you know, this is a conversation that is going to keep going on. We're going to continue this. And why? Because this is an election cycle. It's these people that are running the city and not having the foresight and changing the master plans and the zoning. Do you really want these people to stay in power?
You vote for. Really research
who you vote for. All right. We're going to be back after this. Thank you very much. On the Monica Jay Show here on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Got a different opinion? We've got your 50,000-watt megaphone. 99.1 FM Talk. Call 884-9910. KKFT.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. So glad you're with me today, and I have to tell you my frustration with this coronavirus. I mean, literally, they should call it the Democrat virus, because it's turning me into a Democrat. It's got me staying at home, not working, complaining about everything, waiting on a stimulus check. So, just think about that for a minute. My pets have been Democrats forever. They just sit around, wait for me to feed them, and then open the door for them to go out and do their business and buy them toys. That's what it's all about. But you know what? We are Nevada. We're battle-born. We're coronavirus strong. So just if you are out and about doing your job, doing your work, this really is the perfect time for construction to be going on, or at least maintenance of city streets and constructions of different types. And so, you know, in the Carson City area, Fairview is closed between South Carson and Roop Street, which I guess means I can't go to the radio station today. That's okay, Craig. I'll work on it later. They're putting in a gas pipeline. So how convenient for all those companies that are worried about foot traffic and all the work that's going on, you know, 4th Street and, oops, sorry about that. I'm flailing my arms and hitting my microphone. But just so you know, again, Fairview is closed between South Carson and Roop for construction of a pipeline. You know what the sad part is? Is we can't get good people who know their stuff, who know that sometimes you have to take your medicine to get things done, and not worry about the small stuff. Worry about the big stuff and get it fixed. Do we care more about our sewers than about art? Yeah. Because art can be supported privately. The people who have money to support the arts can support the arts. The people that have money to pay their bills and just go to work can help pay the infrastructure through their taxes. No one is going to get away with this election season running on, you know, that famous Bush saying, no new taxes. But I'll be damned if I'm going to pay new taxes and higher taxes when the city continuously misspends the money that they already have. It just keeps going down the toilet, literally. 884-9910. We are going to be back in the next half hour with a way for you to know who your candidates are. I urge you, if you are running for office, contact my producer, Craig Moss, at the radio station. I don't care if you're independent, if you're Republican, if you're Democrat, if you're Green Party. I want you on the show to talk about your ideas and what you're running for. Ronald Bratch is going to be with us in just a few minutes after this Fox News update. He's running for Carson City Supervisor, Ward 4. We need to know, everybody who's going to be running in the primary, well, because you're going to have to know this stuff off the top of your head, especially when we vote by mail for June 9th this year. Straight from the Secretary of State's office. Already putting it together. Large gatherings. Put a stop to those. What are those large gatherings? Well, the candidate nights. And remember, I know, I can't believe I'm saying this, but maybe the right candidate isn't always registered in your party. Find out who all the candidates are. Here's a Fox News update on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Live and local on 92.3 FM Talk in Smith and Mason Valley, 99.1 FM Talk, and 991FMTalk.com.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. So glad you're with me today on this Thursday. Yes, it's Thursday. This staying home and self-quarantining and isolation. People are forgetting what day of the week it is. So, Thursday. Tomorrow, Friday. The day after that, Saturday. Does it really make any difference, though? It just seems to all run into the same thing. Hey, yesterday's poll question was, is Governor Sisolak putting your life at risk by banning the prescribing and dispensing of chloroquine and hydroxychloroquine? Well, 62.5% said yes. 7.5% said no. 5% said just drink more gin and tonic. Tonic water has quinine in it, which is the synthetic, or chloroquine is the synthetic version of quinine. Let's see, and 25% said out with Governor, I got to clean that up, Sisolak, a carpetbagger if there ever was one. Today's poll question, please participate at 991fmtalk.com. Will the United States begin easing the restrictions that have been put in place because of COVID-19 by Easter, April 12th, like the president predicts? What are your predictions watching all this that is going on? Do you think it's going to happen? I want to hear from you. Yes, no, or other. Other is a chance for you to put in your opinion there. And if other people vote for it, that's great too. So why do we have all the problems that we have right now with what's going on in the federal government? Well, everybody says it's Trump's fault. They've been saying for the last 3 years, everything is Trump's fault. Things that have happened for the last 20 years, it's all Trump's fault. So the problem is people are saying that Trump isn't doing enough. When the real problem is that the federal government has done too much. The city government has done too much. The county government has done too much. And the states have done too much. It's the restrictions, the red tape. Why don't we have masks? Because of the FDA. Because of restrictions that only medical devices can be purchased from medical companies that are usually overseas in China. The problem is people do not pay attention to who they are electing to office. And that's why we will continue until Election Day in November to talk to every candidate that we can. And in my opinion, it's the most important before the primary. You've got Democrats running against Democrats, and you've got Republicans running against Republicans. You need to know who these people are, who their backgrounds are. I mean, hell, the Board of Pharmacy for the state of Nevada that makes such big recommendations to the governor. You can't even find their bios on their webpage. Makes you wonder what they're trying to hide. Well, like I said, I want to talk to everybody. And that includes this gentleman right now, and I hope I am not mispronouncing your name, but joining us right now on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk is Ronald Bratch.
Yeah.
Did I get, did I get that? Bratch.
You're doing great.
Well, Ronald was kind of easy. It was the Bratch I was wondering about. Now, Ronald, you are running for Carson City Supervisor Ward 4. I'm sorry, I do not recognize your name, so you are not the incumbent, I'm assuming.
The incumbent is not running.
And who is that? Because a lot of people, they only know who they vote for. They don't know what district they live in. So who is giving up that seat?
John Barrett,
okay. Are you Republican, Democrat? What is your political party?
I'm a registered Republican.
You are a registered Republican. And who are you running against? Do you know if there's anybody else running in that seat?
Yeah. From what I can tell, because it's a nonpartisan seat as far as we're registered, as far as I can tell, they're both Democrats.
Okay. What do you do for a living?
I am a retired correctional officer down from Southern Carson City, and I'm a security manager for a very large security firm. Actually, it's the biggest company in the U.S. for security.
Oh, very cool. So how long have you been in the Carson City area?
I've been in the Carson City area. I moved into Northern Nevada in 2000.
Are there any things that you see in Carson City, in the area that you were going to be representing, but not just in your area, in your district of 4 or Ward 4, but for all of Carson City? What are the problems that you see that you want changed and you will work to change?
Well, I just see them spending the money on special interests and things that I'm concerned about, trying to spend money into an area that will actually revenue back to the city instead of just spending it. One of the things at the last meeting, they were talking about waste management, and they were nice and easy to spend money on a new a loader because it's a money-making investment. And I think that's always important, and we got to keep the investments going.
What are some of these special interests that you think are being funded?
Well, I see the one of my candidates is involved with the animal shelters and the different art stuff. I mean, there's so many different committees, it's hard to keep track of what actually they're all putting money into, and I definitely want to look at and evaluate which ones are real important to everyone in the city, not just a small group.
Yeah, don't get me started on the animal shelters, because if you've ever heard me, you know how I feel about the animals. They can't take care of themselves. I always have a hard problem with arts, because that is something that can be privately funded and shouldn't necessarily go through taxpayers' fund. Is there one thing specific that you would really like to put your passion and your work into to help fix for the citizens of Carson City?
Well, one of the things I see is the money not coming back. I went to the airport committee not too long ago, and I'd like to see the airport get improved and maybe be an asset to this community, not just money that we're funding, if it's possible. And those are things I'd like to investigate further.
I never hear people saying they're flying into the Carson airport. It's
exactly. And one of the things I learned is they have the lowest jet fuel prices in the region. So they have a draw. So why don't we exploit that and get some people moving into using our airport? I know they have some things they want to grow and buy some of the neighboring property, but one of the things I'd like to talk to them about is how can they improve that to make and produce revenue for the city in return.
So what do you think about what is going on right now with all the businesses that are non-essential shut down and all that. Do you think that the Carson City area, because it turns out that the mayors pretty much are doing their own thing. Each mayor has a different idea of what's essential and what's non-essential. How do you think Carson City has reacted to what's going on?
I think they're just following suit with the state for the most part. I know they had a meeting, and it was just to make sure they had their protocols in place. So if they needed to call a disaster, the city manager and the sheriff had ways to put curfews in and things like that. But I don't see them really doing anything different than what the state's asking them to do as far as the essential businesses.
Okay. Do you think more could be done for the non-essential businesses that are being shut down? Is the city reacting to help them at all?
I don't see anything happening as far as how we can help them. But, you know, to me, it's whatever the feds are putting into the state, and the state's going to trickle it to hopefully the different businesses, and how all that's pretty complex.
Yeah, it is complex. I'm just, you know, wondering how much is each county and each city going to put back in from taxes that they have, that they've collected, put back into their operating systems and the people of their community.
Right. Well, and I don't know what they're doing right now, and those are concerns that I have moving forward. The other things I have that are, because you know they're doing the South Carson Street, and they're developing things, and they're putting in some green areas, and they have a neighborhood improvement district for the business owners, so they're putting them basically in the business owner association to upkeep what they're improving. I don't know if a lot of people know that. They're trying to say that taxpayers aren't going to pay for it. Well, when they have to pay more for their products, aren't they paying for it?
Yeah, exactly. We have the BID here in Reno down with the casinos that people are actually putting lawsuits against. So it makes me wonder. I'm not a big fan of business improvement districts because you kind of get forced into it. But here's a business that seems to go back a long time. What do you think about the Ormsby House?
I have no idea what they're going to do with that thing. I'd love to see it open up and do business. I mean, it's a business. It's closed up. Is there a way to figure out how to use the first floors and improve the others so there's actually some income produced, so the Ormsby House can actually get put back on the map instead of just a nice ornament on the side of the road that we go by?
Okay, well, that's something I'm gonna give you some homework to look into, because there was a proposal made and it was just literally hours away from being signed, and it didn't work out. So take a look at that. Call the people who were participating in that, because I'd like to know your thoughts on that. Because the Ormsby House is a beautiful thing when you drive by. Why is it still closed? What do we have to do to get that thing open and being productive for the city of Carson? Is there anything that you would like to add to let people know who you are?
Yeah, there's. I'm a fiscally conservative. I'm trying to, like I said, make money or make the things we invest in come back in revenue, not just blowing money to blow it for all the, like you said, the arts, the special interests, the small groups. Let's improve things for the overall. I'm always concerned about the diesel tax and the gas tax, and the voters definitely don't want it. So I saw in Lyon County they're proposing to put a diesel tax proposal to the people. I hope we don't go there in Carson City. We just need to figure out how to up our roads with what we have that's already here, not find new ways to get more money out of someone's pocket. I think the individuals have better ways to spend their own money than the city does. So let the people spend their own money, not have the city spend their money for them, or actually any government entity.
All right. Well, here's your other homework item for the next time that you're on, and that is, what Carson City regulations would you cut to help improve business and quality of life?
Cut rigs. Yeah, definitely.
All right. Thank you. You got two homework assignments there, and Ronald Bratch running for Ward 4 in Carson City for supervisor. Please, anytime when you have time to talk about those things, you're more than welcome on the Monica Jay Show here on Live and Local Northern Nevada Airwaves.
All right. Well, thanks for your time and appreciate it.
Ronald,
and,
before I let you go,
do
you have a website or anything?
No, no website yet. Just trinkling along. I definitely need some help and support for people that would like.
Do you have a Facebook page?
I have a Facebook page. It's just my name, and I have an email, and it's ronbratch4cc@gmail.com.
And that's BRATSCH.
Yes, thank you.
All right. Thanks, Ron. And we'll look for you on Facebook as well. Good luck to you. That's what candidates need right now, because a lot of the political parties, they're not having fundraisers right now to help the candidates. So the candidates are going to be struggling. But let me add to that. Republican candidates are going to be struggling because George Soros, even Steyer, the Koch brothers, who proclaim that they're Republicans, not. Michael Bloomberg, what he'd give, $18 million to the DNC? They are going to be flooding money into Nevada, into Reno, into Sparks, into Washoe County to make sure that Democrats are elected. Please help whatever way you can, even if it's just volunteering to have a social distancing less than 10-person get-together at your house. We'll be back after this on the Monica Jay Show, your live and local FM talk station, 92.3 and 99.1 FM talk. Monica Jay Show, your show, live and local on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. I hope that put a little smile on your face. Helping me wrap up the show, courtesy of Wanda. Remember, it's pandemic. Pandemic. Democrats will be passing the bill in the House because they control the House, so they know that, you know, Nancy Pelosi got her wish list. And I know people have already emailed me and sent texts. It's only $35 million for the Kennedy Center. It's only, you know what? All that stuff adds up. And all of that stuff comes out of your pocket. I don't care for the Kennedy Center. Kennedy Center honors. It's a big hoopla with rich people patting themselves on the back. And my taxpayer dollars should not be going towards it. I want to keep my money in my paycheck so I can donate it to my favorite charities, especially the ones that don't take government money because of the red tape, like FISH, Friends in Service Helping. They've been hit hard. Fundraising has basically been eliminated for any of the fundraisers that we had planned, fun ones. So please, get a hold of them, get some donations. If you stockpiled food, even get them some donations so things can go to your neighbors who are seriously in need. And we will come through this on the other side. We might not be financially better. The bigwigs will be. I mean, hell, I can't even get half of the stuff on Amazon that I buy because it's out. I just do that because I don't have time to go to the stores. But they're profiting. They're profiting off of something, again, that doesn't kill people as much as, oh, let's see, tuberculosis, cancer, obesity. But what they're getting out of this is regulation over you and ways of spending your money. So I'm hoping what comes out of all this on the other side is the great awakening to how politicians in Washington, D.C. don't give a rat's, well, you know, about us. Only we care about us. I'll catch you tomorrow, 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.